Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
How's it going, everybody? Zach Matchett here with New Life Live. Thanks for joining our program today, wherever you're listening from. Thanks for making us a part of your day. And I am filling in for Steve today, so glad to be with all of you. Dr. Jackie Mack Harris is with me. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Zach. Good to be here.
Yes,
hi, everyone.
Good to be with you, too. Hello. And then Dr. Alice Benton.
Lucky me. I'm blessed to be with you folks today. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to start out today. You know, we're in the month of November now, and Thanksgiving and Christmas are right around the corner. And while I could very easily think of all the fun things about that, I'm already excited about, you know, this year for Thanksgiving, I'll be able to spend it with both sides of my family. I'll be able to spend Thanksgiving Day with my family, and then that evening we're going up to my in-laws' place. They have a home up in northern Indiana, about 2 hours away from where we live, on a lake, and it's where all the whole extended family is going to be there. I'm already thinking about, oh, it's going to be so fun. It'll be great to hang out with my brother-in-law and all these things. And yet for some people, the holidays mean the exact opposite. And New Life, I think, wants to try to honor that sadness, that pain. Maybe this is your first holiday without a loved one, or post-divorce, or the first holiday you're spending after some big news has been shared that's weighty and hard and burdensome. And so here at New Life, we have put together, if you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, you can get this little resource called Five Tips to Navigating the Highs and Lows of the Holidays. I'm just going to mention a few of them. Talk about your losses. If you've experienced loss lately, or talk about those things during the holidays. Find healthy ways to cope. Create new memories and new traditions to maybe replace those that create great sadness for you. Make rest a priority, certainly, and then remember to connect. And so, ladies, I just want to throw this to you. I mean, we only have a couple of minutes here to open the program, but and we may get to this after the break, too. But the holidays are a challenging time for people. And here I am. Yes, there may be some good things, but it's going to re-trigger some things that maybe have happened that are painful. How do you counsel people through kind of holiday-type things where everybody's supposed to be celebrating, and yet it's the furthest thing of what we want to do for some people in that situation?
Yeah. So I work with a lot of couples, and some couples have been married for a while and some are newer. And one of the things that is a struggle is how they will share themselves with family during the holiday. So I talk about being open and honest with each other about your own needs and desires and family history and rituals, but working together to come up with a new ritual that is all your own. On the flip side of that, as parents of adult children, sometimes it can be hard for us that our children are going to the other to the other in-laws' home. And so I think for us, we have to look at some of these things, because there's some grief where you're so used to having all your family together and all your kids come home, and now your child is married and he's going to his wife's mom's house, or you know, and you're used to having everybody there to help cook, but this year she wants to cook her own Thanksgiving dinner at her house, and it's changing the traditions. And so some of us older, maybe a little more mature moms who have young adult children have to sit with this change. And I love these five tips. And the big one for me was make rest a priority. Giving myself permission to not have to do all the things was wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. Alice, I want to get your thoughts after the break, but I thought of an example, Jackie, as you were sharing. You know, it's not really about the food. It's not really about, when these things come up, it's like that's what is articulated, but it's the thing beneath the thing. It used to be this way, and now it's not. or I'm still grieving the loss of something, or our family is changing, and it's good and it's right and all that, but it's not the same. And I remember one time when I was in college, like one of my first Christmases, kind of coming back and like kind of still living at home, but not really. And one year my mom changed up what she made for breakfast one Christmas morning. I was just like, Jesus is not being born at Christmas this year. Like, we've got to bring this back. She forgave me eventually.
Poor we'll Mrs. Right Matchett.
I know.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us here today on New Life Live. Zach Matchett here with Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jackie Mack Harris. Thank you so much, Alice, for thinking of my mother as you apologize on her behalf.
Well, I'm going to add to it, Mrs. Matchett, we're going to be having a word with Zach. We're going to get him ready to be on his best behavior this holiday.
No, that's long in the past now. That was a long time ago. It's just, isn't it funny like how just simple traditions, I was obviously being exaggerated, but I remember my siblings still teasing each other about it because what it did reveal was what we valued around the holidays.
Yes.
And it revealed that there was a sense of consistency and continuity. And when that's shaken, then it moves into something else. And so I say it being facetious, but in all seriousness, sometimes the holidays pull those things out of people that are laying dormant. And it's not about the food and who brings what and who used to help cook and who used to help do that. It goes to something much deeper. And unfortunately, if not dealt with, food becomes the reason that there's conflict and pain, and all that is exacerbated because you weren't actually getting to the root of it. So, again, if you want to call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, you can get that little resource, 5 Tips to Navigating the Highs and Lows of the Holidays, and we will get that to you. Alice, I'll give you a last word on that.
Well, holidays expose what is underneath the surface. For many of us, it exposes our loneliness and how deep it is. And so it's partly why we always encourage, seek community now before you need it. Seek it because you will need it. And the holidays is one of the times we absolutely need community. And then also, we need to check and moderate our expectations. Mine are always that my children will be delighted with all the great things we do for the holiday. Mm-hmm. But somebody always throws a tantrum pretty quickly into the holiday. And if I don't brace myself for that, I can be sorely disappointed and very upset that they weren't as grateful as they should be.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm hoping for a tantrum-free holiday at the Benton household this year, Thanksgiving and Christmas. Hey, I want to – you guys know that show, Sherman and Peabody? I don't know what the original old cartoon was. Yeah. I don't know what it was called. But you know how they said you have to step back into the Wayback Machine?
Uh-huh.
And they use that phrase. Well, we're going to do a little segment today called Go Into the Wayback Machine on New Life Live. We actually want to play you a call that Steve and Henry Cloud did that we think would just be helpful to you. And so I wanted to go ahead and play this, and then we'll make a comment after it's over. Take a listen.
Let's jump over here and talk with Jan. Welcome to New Life.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. How can we help you?
Well, I've been in a relationship for about a year and a half. He's a year younger than me, and I'm just don't know how to deal with him, and I want things to be good between us. There is a trust issue, for one, and for two, he has a little bit of a temper at times, and I suspect he might even be bipolar, but he's not.
How long have you been dating him?
A year and a half.
Okay.
And, we've had our ups and downs, and mainly the problem has been trust, me trusting him. And it seems to be a big issue between us to the point where actually last night was the first time that he ever said something about possibly not dating anymore. And I really don't want to let this go. I mean, we've got a lot of good.
Why did he say that?
Well, the situation, he was, he had to call work last night and to let him know he has jury duty, and I was out on the back deck just standing there. And when he said that he got upset, very upset, because he said I was, he was trying to call work and, you know, and I was sitting there making noise in the background or whatever, but I wasn't. I was just out there being quiet, you know, just hanging out with him. And it seemed like the phone, his cell phone rang, I think, and then he kind of had to hang up because I was out there. And he got very defensive, you know, and about left, but I talked him into staying the night. And but you know, I don't know that we're going to be together anymore. I don't know.
Okay, what's your question for us then?
My question is I don't know. I mean, I want to keep this relationship going. I mean, I know everybody's got shortcomings, and I know he, you know, has a temper that he just goes off like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then 10 minutes later, he's okay, you know. But I don't know how. I'm having a hard time trusting him.
Okay,
trusting him to do what?
To stay monogamous.
Why? Why?
Just the different things that just. You know, I'll trust him for a while. I do have a problem with trust in past relationships. But he, you know, and I will work on trusting him, and then...
But why do you have a problem trusting him? In other words, what about his behavior?
His behavior? Well, like when we go out, and it's been since day one, and he says he doesn't realize it, but we'll be out somewhere, and he does. You know, it's okay to look at a pretty girl, but he like almost tries to make eye contact with them. You know, and I've never dated anyone who's done that before, and that was a year ago that I mentioned that to him, but he swears up and down he doesn't do it, or that he doesn't realize he does it, and I tried to. Come up with a solution for that, you know. But he still does it, but I've kind of gotten over that. It's just like, okay, he doesn't realize he's doing
that. Is that the only thing?
Actually, you know, I have to admit, I've looked in his, you know, looked in his bill folder, checked his cell phone, and, well, on his birthday, we had a birthday party at his house, and a female called his cell phone. I was the only one in the room. Everybody else was outside, and I answered his cell phone, and the female said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I have the wrong number." And then a second later, his house phone rang, and I picked it up, and they hung up.
Yeah, okay. So, you know what? You got a really crummy situation here.
Yeah.
A year and a half later.
And you haven't even gotten to the bipolar part.
Yeah. And see, here's the thing, though. The crummy situation isn't with him.
Wow.
It's within you that you, seeing all of these things, would still believe that all you're entitled to is a relationship with a man who has not grown toward you, but grown away from you, deceives you, lies to you, distorts the truth, looks at other women, disrespects you in that way, and has a temper. So what am I going to do with you? kind of thing. I mean, really, you've got a problem here.
But he tells me I can trust him. He says he's been in relationships before, and he doesn't mess around, and it's just all in my head, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to trust him.
That lady that called, and knew his cell phone number and the house number was not in your head. That was in his house.
Right.
Okay. So now, what's the question for us?
Well, I guess, you know, I want to be able to trust him. I want to, you know, be able to figure out if he is trustworthy or not.
Yeah.
You know, and I know what you're saying there, but, you know, I just don't know. I don't know where to go, I guess.
It's hard to give up a year and a half of investment.
It is hard to give up a relationship.
But you would be asking for 30 years of struggle and pain with a guy like that. And the moment you say, okay, I'll marry you, you're essentially saying all this stuff I've seen is, it's okay with me.
Well, I feel like if I were to marry him...
No. Oh, please don't say what you're just about to say. That it's going to get better?
I think once he would be married, he would be monogamous.
Jan, we did the research, and it has never happened in the history of the world. Never. In fact, it gets worse. And you just, please, I'm just asking you, remove that thought from your head that anything with this guy would get better once you were married. Don't ever say better and once we're married in the same sentence, because it'll be a disaster for you. Okay, Jan?
Once you're married, I think he is monogamous.
Okay, well, that'd be really great if he would just practice that while you're single to prove it.
Jan, let me put it this way. There are, in engagement and looking towards marriage, there are green lights and there are yellow lights and there are red lights. Okay? Green lights are when all you're seeing in the person's behavior are things that make for a promising, good future, and you go forward. A yellow light is when you're seeing things that you aren't quite sure about and make you question, and some things you know that you would not want those forever, and so you don't go through the intersection. A yellow light means don't proceed, slow down. It doesn't necessarily mean don't go. It just means don't go now. And you, what you do is you stop and you address those things until they are green lights. Okay? And then red lights are things that are character issues that you just cannot say yes to, period. All right? You have got at least some yellow lights here. And so we're not saying necessarily that there's no hope, that you'll never be married to him or anything like that. But what we are saying is that you better address these and you guys get these things worked out until they're no longer present and they're no longer issues and the light has turned green before you go on. You don't go forward without addressing these things until they, you know, enact like that there's no issue. That's what we're worried about.
Well, if I address him with him, we'll get in an argument.
Okay, well, see, that's okay. Another thing. Do you want to be in a relationship where you can't address things with somebody?
No.
Okay, that would be a thing to address. That's an example.
Mm-hmm. Are you this desperate to be married?
No.
Well, it sounds like it.
To get married. I'm not looking like, it's just I hadn't dated someone in a long-term, I've been in a long-term relationship for a while, and when I met him, we have so much in common, and we do have a lot of good, and I just don't want to let go of that.
Are both of you believers?
I am. I think he is, but
you don't really know. After a year and a half, you're not really too sure about it. Now,
not really.
Jan, you need to get some great women friends around you who are willing to tell you the truth about yourself and this relationship. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have to be so desperate depending on him for so much of your life.
And then you can be clear about what you want.
Yeah.
And what single people need to do is be clear about what they want.
We're not being mean to you. We want to help you.
Or him.
Yeah.
We want him to, if he's committed to you and wants a good relationship with you, to understand what that's going to take.
See,
and one of the things is you've got to deal with this faith issue. You guys have a very different, it sounds like, a very different place you're coming from, you know, in faith. And faith is a direction setter. And when, you know, that's why the Bible says unequally yoked doesn't work, because you're going to be going down different paths in how you spend your time and your values and your money and your lives. And that's a big issue. That's going to be a big issue for him. You guys need to go in and talk to somebody who will unpack all this stuff.
We've gone from red lights to dynamite blowing up in the middle of the intersection there. And I'm hoping and praying that you can get beyond the need for this guy, because it's not good. This relationship isn't healthy. And you're wanting to, you can't call us to find a way to make it work, and it shouldn't work. It should fall apart, and you should move on. And it's tough. We want to encourage you to do that. So, I'm going to send you Avoiding Mr. Wrong, because this guy is Mr. Wrong for you. It happens all the time. And I'm going to pray right now that you will find the strength to experience freedom from someone who is just taking you down a path. It'd be one thing if he looks at another woman and says, oh yeah, you deserve better than that. I am so sorry I did that. I'm going to work on that. Versus, God, I don't even know I'm doing it. Of course he knows he's doing it.
I think we have some thoughts on that call, but we're going to go to a break. It's interesting, as that conversation was taking place, I had two thoughts. One was, if you've been in a position where you're in denial, where you don't, we're the last one to see it. That's the point I want to make oftentimes. We're the last one to see our own blind spots, sin, self-centeredness, whatever. And the other thing is just how important it is for people to enter in and tell us the things that we need to hear rather than what we want to hear. 2 to 3 people in your life that are completely unimpressed by you but still love you. So we'll be right back after this break. We'll keep talking.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for hanging out with us today. Zach Matchett here. Dr. Jackie Mac-Harris, Dr. Alice Benton are with me. If you enjoy New Life Live, whether you're listening on radio and you think to yourself, oh man, that was a great episode, I want to go back to it, the New Life Live app is a great thing to download. You can also subscribe to the podcast, the YouTube channel, New Life Live. You can go there, New Life Ministries. Man, all those resources can kind of give you the archive, if you will, to go back and listen to something. Share it with a friend if you feel like, man, I was listening to this conversation that these folks were having on the program the other day. I think it would be helpful to you, whatever the case may be. We want to give you that option. You know, before the break, we listened to that call with Stephen Henry, with the woman Jan, and we were just saying, just briefly make a comment about how important it is to have people in our life that tell us the truth and how easy it is to miss the most obvious things in our own lives. And ladies, I just want to throw it out to you. What were your kind of takeaways from that?
Well, it might be easy to sit in a place of judgment of Jan, of how could she not see? Why is she tolerating all of this? But if we turn that evaluation inward, we all are guilty of doing that for a couple of different reasons. We're almost all more comfortable with the familiar, even if the familiar is painful and broken and awful and abusive. We're more comfortable with what we have known, and so we tend to choose to stick with it. I think it's the dog returning to its vomit. We all go back because we know it. It's familiar. We're also afraid of the unknown, even terrified, paralyzed by the fear of the unknown. So I'd rather stick with what I have because at least I have somebody. What if I have nobody if I let go of this person? And lastly, we tend to convince ourselves that what I have is good enough currently. Again, usually because of fear, usually because of ignorance of what is on the other side. But God's principles of healing and what we teach on New Life, it's guaranteed that we will be able to access more of the good plans that God has for us if we'll enact these things that He tells us to do now.
Yeah. Jack, anything you'd add?
Just that she was struggling with things she knew. Like, she knew these things were problems for her. And so sometimes we are in conflict with our own ideas. And I think she had this idea that you have to give people a chance, give people a second chance. Nobody is perfect. And so we hear those things, and that is used against us. The enemy will use some of those ideas to have us tolerate the intolerable. And that's what was coming up for me as she was talking. I'm like, she's been convinced that she has to keep giving him a chance. She was calling to figure out, how do I tolerate this? And in my mind, I kept thinking, did she know she was calling? Who she was calling to talk to? Because Steve's going to tell her, you're tolerating the intolerable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. But that's why we need people in our life that can kind of cut through that a little bit and lovingly and say, hey, look, there's something better for you than this. And don't live your life and don't build a foundation of marriage, you know, on that as well. I want to get to our next call here. This is John. John is calling here from New Hampshire, listening to us on WDER. And so, hi, John. Welcome to the program. How can we help you today?
My immediate question is how to deal with borderline personal disorder. I've been married for 40 years, trying to understand some ups and downs and blow-ups and that sort of thing, and why I can never receive I love you and things like that. The history is this goes on for probably a generation. Her mother's parents died at a very young age. The kids went to orphanages and were left on the loan after that.
Oh, wow.
And probably at the age of 13, her sister got married and her brother went off to the service, so she was left with a mother that was struggling from depression and anxiety, and her dad was always in the role as a salesman. And on Saturday, was out with uncles, and so that's where we're at. So, reading your book reading your book, Understanding Borderline Disorder from Steve has been very encouraging. But I just need some answers.
John, you have great compassion for your wife and her family's history of pain, and the tears in your voice are evident, and yet you are also very weary after 40 years of probably being rejected over and over again by your wife. Is that right?
Yes.
It sounds like you're trying to figure out, how do I go on when she can't give me some of these things that I need?
I'm going to give you an example. My youngest daughter, 33, was living with her husband for 3 months. She wanted to be able to cook something in the kitchen. She didn't tell my daughter or my son-in-law. And all of a sudden, I'm in the car driving to an appointment now, but she didn't tell anyone when she wanted to cook. By the time it came to cook, my son-in-law has given my grandson a bath, and geez, Toby, do you mind doing this in the bathroom? Well, he wasn't moving fast enough, so she moved. Do you mind if I take him in the bathroom? All of a sudden, we've got a third-degree blow-up. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. 2 weeks ago, she basically said, well, over something simple, here's your rings, that sort of thing.
Wow. So it escalated quickly. I mean, even just in that moment of saying that, here are the rings, that's it. That went quickly. I want you to be able to stay on until after the break, John, because we want to get you pointed in the right direction. Alice, did you want to jump in with something real quick here?
I just wondered if your wife is still living with you, or did she leave when she took off her ring?
No, she's still living with
me. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Well, stay on after the break, John. We want to get you pointed in the right direction. Thanks for calling, and thanks for being so courageous. We're talking not just about this marriage, but even your family history. This is all intertwined, and that makes it much harder, I know, for you. Maybe a little more complex, and that leads to the weariness. So stay on. We'll be right back with you here in just a second.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the 1-Year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks for hanging out with us today on New Life Live. Zach Matchett here, Dr. Jackie Mack Harris, Dr. Alice Benton are with me. We've been chatting with John. John, again, just thank you so much for calling in, talking about borderline personality disorder with your wife of 40 years, if I remember correctly. But there was also a lot of family history of trauma and just hurt and frustration. And now it's resulting in even something here, the example that you shared of a situation that escalated very quickly. And now I'm taking my ring off and I'm giving them to you. And now it's like, oh, my goodness, it's just really gone up several levels here. And so I guess I just want to throw it to the ladies here just to give any chance for follow-up questions or any insight they would give for some next steps.
John, I was wondering if you have ever been in therapy for yourself. 40 years of marriage is a lot, and if she has borderline personality disorder, I'm curious as to how you have managed still holding so much love and compassion and grace for her after 40 years. Have you been in counseling yourself?
Well, we tried 35 years ago, maybe 38, and the counselor made some,
comment, sarcastic comment, and it just turned her off, and she never wanted to go again. And I said, well, listen, choose someone else. Or, you know, I just told her from your CD, Two Within One, that I'm going to go to college. Love you to go, but you don't want to go. It's denial. And I know it all helped, but she's just in denial. She just feels it's all my fault.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. A lot of times people have a hard time with the bad being them. I was thinking about how we love. Vacillators are people who struggle with idealizing situations and then devaluing. And so it can look a lot like borderline personality disorder. And so they get a vision in their mind and they get anxious about it needing to happen in the way that they envisioned it. And then the results don't turn out like they expected it. And so then they go off. And then once they go off, they've released their anxiety and now they're fine. And so, yeah, I'm going to give you my rings. I'm out of here. But I don't go anywhere because once I've gotten that out of my system, I feel a little better. And I wonder if you've been on that kind of roller coaster and if you've kind of lived this yo-yo life with the ups and the downs of the anger and the frustration. But I'm like the come again, come here, go away, come here, go away. Say that again, John? Say that last thing again?
That's the way it's been for 40 years. It's never been as bad as Here's My Ring, but it's been an up and down. Like, there's another book out there talking about walking on eggshells, and that's what I'm dealing with.
Have you ever read How We Love?
I haven't seen that one, no.
Yeah, we'd love to send that to you. Yeah. That'd be great. Well, can you just give a brief summary, Jackie, on How We Love, what that book is?
So How We Love talks about the different attachment styles and how our attachment didn't begin in our marriage. Our challenges didn't come just out of our marriage and the relationship between these two people. It began in our childhood. And as you shared about your wife's historical trauma, her generational trauma, it has impacted how she does relationship. And so when we can look back and understand ourselves a little better, we're better able to give ourselves grace and make the changes we need to make because we can see ourselves. So when I use How We Love, I usually have people read it, and then there's an assessment they can take on the website. And in taking that test, you learn that this is your love style, here's your partner's love style, and here's the dance we do together. And we call that a core pattern. And these core patterns are what you've been living.
Her love language is acts of service, but I can never satisfy her request.
Because it's acts of service, but she has an expectation that it will be done in the way that she idolizes. Oftentimes, vacillators don't want to share what they are thinking. They want you to just know it if you love them enough, right? So How We Love is really good about teaching you about all the different attachment styles, including your own. And sometimes vacillators pair with pleasers, and the pleaser works really, really hard consistently to give them what they need, because that is how the pleaser gets their need met, by taking care of others and making them happy. But if you're with someone who you can't make happy, then you're in this place of despair continually and rejection, even though you feel like you're constantly trying. And so I've heard people say it's like being married to a moving target. Like, I could never quite hit the mark. And I just wonder if that's what you've been experiencing. And if you're still in therapy, if that's something that you are working through now, ways for you to be able to take a step back and see, are there some things that I may be doing out of a need to please her that just continue to perpetuate it, that I maybe don't have to do? Because you may be working to get something that she doesn't have to give.
Yeah, well said. Alice, anything you want to add there?
Well, John, I wonder if that pleaser style does fit for you. We hear elements of it that you probably work very hard to try to keep peace in your home and to try to get her to be happy. Yes. And yet you feel like you fail at it all the time, no matter how well you do.
Exactly.
John, I'm also a people pleaser and a conflict avoider in recovery. And part of our work, no matter what our spouse is doing, is to build up our truth-telling muscle, where we start to bring little bits of difficult truth enveloped and smothered in grace to those people we love in our lives, your wife included. Now, she probably would not be able to handle very much difficult truth from you. And so there are ways to build up both your ability to speak truth. You practice it with your therapist, practice it with other family members and friends. But also, there's a way to try to help lower her defenses so that she can have more capacity to hear truth. And it's through the use of the comfort circle, which is in the book that Dr. Jackie has been referring to. The comfort circle is a very counterintuitive way of having a conversation. What's normal for all of us is attack, defend, attack, defend. But the comfort circle slows us down and helps us to humbly draw out a person that is hurting, even if it's their fault that they're hurting. But in the comfort circle, we ask them, tell me about your pain. And we listen in a reflective style, not defending or justifying ourselves, but rather giving back the words we hear from the speaker. And when we do that, it tends to settle that fight or flight response that's stirred up in the upset person. So we'll be sending you this book, and we want you to practice both the comfort circle, where you hear your wife in a moment where she's calmer, but also you ask her eventually, after you build up the ability to do so, can you hear something from me? Can you hear a way that I am hurting? A little bite-sized bit of truth with a whole lot of grace.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes in relationships too, I've noticed, and I don't know if this is at play with you, John, or not, but you know, if somebody has the tendency to overreact, so we've heard of situations where that's been happening, and it's like, unless it's this absolute exact, you know, the way it's supposed to go, or the way the words need to be said, or this conversation, or my way, and you take that, and so that's a kind of an idol of control. You pair that with somebody who is wounded by those words, but almost wounded to the point of despair because they're living for the approval, you know, of that person. So now you have the idol of control matched with the idol of approval, and now you have dynamite that explodes often, and oftentimes the hurt is so great. It doesn't mean that, I don't want to redirect to like, then now somebody's doing something badly like you are, John. I'm not saying that. My point is that this could be compounded or exaggerated because maybe for 40 years, John, like this has been going on, and that's why when Alice said the word weary earlier, I felt that really deep, because weary is a different kind of tired. It's a different kind of exhaustion. It's a different kind of exasperation. And it also has this soul-crushing element of, is this going to get better? Is this worth me fighting it out and doing it? And this is why we think these resources would be helpful. And I would encourage you to stick with the counselor, stick with therapy. If you need help with that, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to get you maybe a group of some kind to get you some support, too. I don't know if you're part of a local church, John. There's lots of ways to just have people around you. And I would keep leaning hard into those avenues. Alice, if you want to go ahead and throw something in there, too.
Well, Zach, I want to offer one more option to you, John, and it probably feels like a Hail Mary, but given that your wife just took her rings off for the first time, you might invite her back into a therapeutic process, which I would recommend our Intimacy and Marriage Weekend. We have one coming up in February, and you might phrase it this way. If things are bad enough that you took your rings off the other day, I'm willing to keep taking a hard look at myself and what I do to exacerbate the problems between the two of us. Would you be willing? Come to this weekend. Don't give up on us yet. Come to this weekend, and that the process will help you to speak about what I'm not doing well. It'll help us both to hear each other out. Would you do this thing for our family, for our marriage? I'd ask again, John, if she'd be willing to participate in that.
Yeah. John, I want to encourage you before we go to the break here and finish our time together. I'm proud of you for calling in. You mentioned some resources that you've read and some ways that New Life has helped you in the past, and I would just encourage you to stay the course. You know, Paul told Timothy to keep fighting the good fight, and I want you to continue to do that. I think these are some ways that we can help you, so be encouraged, because I know it takes a lot of courage to call in, especially when you feel like, I've tried a lot of things, and we've put a lot of these things in practice, and it's still not working, and that can sometimes feel all the more humiliating and all the more hard. And so I applaud you for calling in today. So I really appreciate it. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today on New Life Live. We'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks for spending some time with us today here on New Life Live. Zach Matchett here with Dr. Jackie Mac-Harris and Dr. Alice Benton. And it was just an awesome conversation with John. I in sincerity, I know that he's walking through a very difficult situation with his family and his marriage. But I'm so glad that the program exists for people like him to call in and to have an outlet to really reach out for some help. And so, Larry, I know you got some things you want to share with us today, maybe including a story of how some life changes happening here at New Life. So I'll go ahead and hand it over to you. A
couple of things. Tomorrow, Every Man's Battle starts in Washington, D.C. So, guys, it's last chance. Give us a call at 800-NEW-LIFE and get in under the wire. I know you need it. Ladies, a week from tomorrow is Restore Workshop in Washington, D.C. also. And it's the other side of Every Man's Battle. If there's a marriage involved with Every Man's Battle, there's a woman that needs this workshop. And the ladies, I know so many of you don't think you need it because it's his problem. I know you're kind of stuck deer in the headlights not knowing what to do. But what to do is to give us a call and let us help you. There's reasons you need to come. You maybe don't see those reasons, but our staff can explain those to you and help you understand why it is. I gave Alice a testimony to read from a lady that recently attended.
I'm so glad I came to Restore. None of the support systems I currently have know or understand what it feels like to be a betrayed woman. It always felt like everyone who I tried to process with was trying to convince me that it's fine, that miracles will happen to restore my marriage. At the workshop, I was surrounded by women who know what it feels like to be betrayed, and they can hold space for me in my hurt or my anger, my sadness, and any hope I may have. Every woman has her own journey. In different stages of their journeys, I was strengthened by their stories and learned from each person. Thank you to my wonderful facilitator, and I treasure her words and the words of my fellow group members that I can take home with me. I look forward with hope to what God has for me next, for the special moments in love I will discover.
You know, there's a lot in that little testimony there. Women that you, so many people, especially church people, mean so well. God will bring a miracle. You can handle this. Just stick with it. Persevere. But when there's deep hurt involved and betrayal trauma, you need more than just somebody praying for you.
Yes.
And
yes.
You need more than just thinking God's going to present a miracle tomorrow. He can do miracles, and he does them all the time. But so often, all the miracles, when I've studied miracles in the Bible, somebody does something first before he brings the miracle. You know, a lady reached out and touched his hem. Friends dropped the guy through the roof. The servants filled the vats with water. He just didn't just zap and it was all done. He's waiting for somebody to take the first step. And ladies, your first step is kind of a step of surrender to think, I really do need help. And it's not a weakness. It's really a strength for you to admit that and to want to take that step of looking for help and asking for help and seeking to be understood and not feel like you're crazy. So I just can't emphasize enough the need for you to come to this workshop. So please call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. And folks, the folks who are listening that can support this program financially, that's my appeal to you too. Think of all the ways you can give. We're coming up on your end, and I know people are looking for tax deductions. I kind of hate that that's the reason somebody wants to give, but I'll take it. we need your support, and you can sign up to be a Club New Life member. Give monthly. That's very helpful. You can give us gifts of stock. You can include us in your estate plans. There's ways you can give beyond just writing a check. But writing a check is a real big deal and an important thing for us as well. So please consider that and help us as we go along, especially those of you that have never done anything. I said earlier on another program this week earlier that I met a guy that had intended to give for 12 years and then finally did. And I know there are people listening to my voice right now that have been thinking, I maybe ought to give, and you keep putting it off, and you don't do it, and a day becomes a week, becomes a month, becomes a year. And so please stop and make a gift to New Life so you don't have that 12-year sense of guilt after you talked to me and told me it was 12 years. So thank you.
I listened to the show hungrily. I ate it up for years as well. I didn't quite hit the 12-year mark, but I think at least 3 or 4 years. And when I would hear your requests for help, Larry, I just I looked the other way. And I was taking advantage of life-changing knowledge that I was receiving from New Life. My relationship with God was entirely changing. My marriage was being strengthened. I was becoming equipped to be a much better mother to my children. But I wasn't responding yet with gratitude. I was just taking. And so finally, one day in the car listening to the radio, your voice reached through my hesitation and my barriers. And I have never regretted giving to New Life, but I did feel a guilt when I wasn't giving because I knew I was benefiting without responding. So if your story's similar, please, please pick up that phone or pick up even just your phone. If you can do it through the internet, you can set up a donation through the internet with us.
So whatever I said to Alice back then, I'm saying now.
Yeah. Well, it's just interesting how our finances, and again, in the world of Larry and what we do as ministers and leaders and counselors. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we we're in the helping profession. That's what we're doing. But I also know as a pastor, it's just like, oh boy, the money sermon, or oh boy, mm-hmm. the pitch, or oh, you know, like the mm-hmm. financial pitch of whatever program. And I always think to myself, you know, the finances are the great revealer of a mm-hmm. person's life, of what we prioritize, what we often worship. And this isn't me trying to sermonize you. Maybe it is. I'm a preacher. But yeah, thank you very much. But in all sincerity, I do think that, as Alice pointed out, isn't it interesting that we have no problem benefiting from the finances of someone else, profiting off of it even in our own lives, and then being unwilling to, you know, it's like the whole the parable that Jesus shares about, you know, we've given the pardon of grace to the man that owes a lot of money or whatever, and then he goes off, like a $1 billion, basically the equivalent, he goes off and somebody owes him a dollar, and he, like, throws him into jail, you know. And so in some way, I think indirectly, we may be challenging you to think about, if I make this contribution, yes, there's an investment that I'm making, but it's going to go directly into somebody that's going to have the access that wouldn't have it otherwise. And there are people out there that are hurting and need the resources that New Life brings.
Zach, I just want to say to our audience, forgive me if it feels like I'm twisting your arm, because I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
I want you to give for the right reason.
Right.
And I want you to say a prayer about whether you should give, how much, to whom. And God in His Spirit is what needs to touch your heart and your mind to say, this is worthy of me making a gift to. And that's our philosophy at New Life. I mean, I seek help. I want to make people realize that the help they give means life change and means difference in people's lives. And I hope that encourages folks to give.
Well, we're such a consumer society.
Amen.
And in most of the ways we're consuming, there is no option to give back. And this, there is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So this is a place where you can give back to the place where you are being blessed.
Hmm.
A lot of things we listen to on the radio or, you know, YouTube videos, we can't connect with them, but they can connect with New Life.
Yeah. So thank you for giving. Thank you for letting us come to you and ask about it. And I just pray that it'll make a difference for you, because you'll be different once you give. Giving changes you as much as it changes people that benefit from that gift.
Yep. Every Man's Battle, November 4th through the 6th in Washington, D.C. Restore, November 11th in Washington, D.C. Those are the next two workshops. Great events for you to be a part of. If you think this episode was awesome, you want to share it with a friend, please do so on our YouTube channel or on the New Life app. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.